Many believers find themselves stuck in a surface-level faith, looking for a way to go deeper. Well, joining us today is someone who has spent over two decades helping people bridge that gap. He's a veteran pastor and visionary behind the Romans 10:9 Bible app. It all happens next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome to the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson. Steve Lacy, who is normally co-host here with me, is not with me today. He's busy doing some other things, but we have a great guest coming up. I want to say a few things before we get to our guest. First of all, this is episode number 520, and this is brought to you, as it normally always is, by StreamingChurch.tv. That's really our company. As I was telling our guest before we hit record here, we started to do these podcasts or whatever. They were not called podcasts back then. I think it was 2009, 2010. We started to do some stuff because we did streaming video, and so we thought, well, let's do some live short little deals, and then that evolved into other things. And so this is episode number 520, although I think we've done a lot more. But anyhow, StreamingChurch.tv, that's our company. We're one of the originals in streaming video for churches. But enough of that. Let's get to our guest today. Our today's guest is a pastor of over 20 plus years. He is the author of a book called Before the Fall, Stepping Away from the Edge of Calamity. He's also the founder of Romans 10:9. That's a Bible study app that we're going to talk a lot about today. And he helps believers move past surface level faith into a much deeper, more grounded walk with Christ. Please welcome Dr. Timothy Allen to the Church Solutions Podcast. Dr. Allen, thank you for being with us today.
Phil, it's good to be with you. Good to meet you as well.
Yeah, and it's good to meet you. We were talking a few minutes before we hit record. You're from Boston. You're still living in Boston. You're disappointed in your Celtics, but that's what are you going to do, right?
I mean, as you see, I'm still wearing green in support.
You are wearing green, and that's a good thing. Yeah, I have a friend that's a Boston Celtic fan too. His family's from around the Boston area. I grew up in Ohio. And so when the Cleveland Cavaliers came into being, we rooted for the Cavs. And then I moved out to Arizona here in the late 70s. And then I kind of keep my eye on the Cavaliers. But, you know, LeBron James, who eventually, you know, was drafted by the Cavaliers, is from the Ohio area. So I always kind of keep an eye on LeBron and all that. And of course, he's with the Lakers now. And we're going to get way off track here. But my brother was 12 years older than I was, and he used to love watching Will Chamberlain play.
Oh, okay.
And so this is in the 1960s. And then he liked Will Chamberlain. And then my brother was 12 years older than I was. And so when I would play basketball with him, I was 8 or 9 and he was 20 or whatever, you know, so I it's hard to shoot over him. And I saw this guy that played for UCLA and he had this hook shot. This is again, the late 1960s. And so I thought, I wonder if I could do a hook shot like that as a 10-year-old, whatever. And of course you're talking about Lou Alcindor, who became a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah. So I'm going way off track. We're not talking about basketball today. Maybe we can do that in the future. So let's talk a little bit about something that you are a part of. Romans 10:9 Bible study app. So there's a lot of Bible apps out there today. In fact, we've got our own app with StreamingChurch.tv called Church App Live. And it's not really a Bible app, but it has Bible stuff in it and has live video. But tell me a little bit about this. Why have another Bible app on the market? I mean, was there something you saw where there's some kind of a gap in this digital landscaping that you thought Romans 10:9 would fill that gap?
Well, one of the reasons why I came up with the app was just some of the things that I see from my time with teaching people in Bible study. You know, I'm a firm believer that there should be something that causes you to think deeply. And then there should also be a way of testing to see how well you're keeping this information. You know, I guess that's sort of the teacher that's in me. So one of the things that I do with my own, you know, Bible study series here at my church is when we complete one, you know, we'll have like a final exam and I'll give them an opportunity to study their notes. And then they'll come back on that night and we'll take the exam and we'll go over it. And it's a lot of fun. So I thought to myself, you know, I would love to see people have something like this in their hands where they can study it. You know, at the end, there's some questions that they can get asked. And then when they've gone through the entire course, you know, they could have an opportunity to review what they've learned and then see how much they're retaining the information. So that was kind of sort of the genesis behind it.
Yeah. So you had mentioned something before we hit the record button here. You were a chaplain for 20 years or so, mm-hmm. Which I was too here in Pima County Jail. Pima County is getting a lot of attention because of the Nancy Guthrie kidnapping and Savannah Guthrie. You know, so I don't know the sheriff. I knew the sheriff years ago, the former sheriff Dupnik, but you. You were telling me other things too, which maybe we should have just got into before we hit record or after we hit record. But you work with people that have had some challenges in their life, life controlling challenges, perhaps issues, bad habits, those kind of things. How has that affected you as a pastor, as a Bible teacher, and even this app?
Well, I think one of the things that it's done for me is it's caused me to have to bring people a message or a lesson that's what I call real. You know, it can't be something that's surface based. You know, when I go to the jail and I'm talking to men who have committed a crime, who potentially may go to prison for the rest of their lives, and, you know, they give their life to Christ in prison, and they're faced with the reality of, you know, yes, you may have found Christ in jail, and the Lord may still allow you to go to prison for the rest of your life. That's an honest thing. Men who have been in and out of jail so much that the relationship with their children, primarily with their sons, is lost. And they wonder, you know, is there a way for me to ever get that back again? Do I have any hope of being able to recapture that? And I mean, you have to be able to meet them right where they are, you know, with a message that's not just filled with hope, but also a message that's realistic. You know, in that setting, a lot of people think just because I've met Christ, that means I'm getting out. No, doesn't mean that. You know,
exactly.
The best analogy that I can give them is this. I tell them, I say, okay, imagine you're in a car that's going down the highway, going at 70 miles an hour. And for some strange reason, while the car is going at 70, you decide to open the door and jump out of the car. Now, as you jump out of the car, you yell at the top of your lungs, "Lord, forgive me for jumping." Now, I want you to understand, God will absolutely forgive you for jumping, but you're still going to hit the pavement. And you're going to hit the pavement at 70 miles an hour. And you know, so when you're in the hospital all bandaged up, you're not in here because God didn't forgive you. You're in here because you jumped at 70. And I have to help them understand that life is the same way. Christ can definitely forgive you, but there were some things that went on that have consequences that still have to be dealt with.
Yeah, there's definitely consequences. So let's talk a little bit about how this applies in the app. So the app here, you've got study and all this stuff, but how do you move from just the information, you know, to transformation? How does that work? And is there some way relationships factor in on this thing with this app?
Well, one of the things that I do at the end of every lesson, there's what I call a moment of meditation. And it's a question that's basically designed to get you to think deeply about the lesson that you just took. And many times it's, you know, how is this message applying to you right now? Which direction do you think that God is leading you? You know, what areas do you need to change based upon what you've just read? Okay. I'm a firm believer that if you can start people down a certain road by thinking a little bit deeply, you know, normally the changes that need to take place will eventually happen once they began to think about it deeply. I think that a lot of people aren't challenged many times to think. You know, you hear a message, you go to church on Sunday and you hear a message. But how often does a person think, how does what the preacher has said relate to me? You know, I know there's a whole lot of people in the church, but what specifically in that is talking to me? And once you can see yourself in it, the next question is, now what are you going to do? Because it's not enough to just acknowledge that some of those things apply to you, but you can't leave it there. There's some action that you have to take. And specifically, God has opened your eyes to certain things because he wants you to take that action. And that's what the app is designed to do. It's designed to open up your eyes to get you to see certain things, but also to provoke you to say, I got to take the next step.
Yeah. So let's walk through some practical application here. So we can reinforce this at the end and mention this at the end for people. But tell us, okay, so I'm interested in your app. I hear about your app somewhere. How do I get it? And what's a typical process? I get the app. I get it where? Google App Store? Can I get it there?
So you can get it on Google or Apple, either one.
Okay.
So the app has two sides. There are daily devotionals that are just designed, you know, for that particular day.
Okay.
And then there are courses where one idea builds on top of the other. Okay. And the types of topics that I talk about. So I talk about things about hypocrisy in the church, which is a really big one. I talk about secret sins that we have, because often in church we understand that there are sins that are hidden. There are those that are up front that everybody can see, but then there are also those that are going on behind the scenes that nobody knows about. And those are the ones that usually will wreck you the fastest. So I try to pull topics that are not just thought provoking, but things that people see all the time and they have an issue with. So let me give you an example. So the idea of hypocrisy. I can't tell you how often I talk to people who have what they call church hurt. And basically what they're telling me is that, you know, they were caught up in some sort of sin, but there were other people in the church who were doing things as well. But for some reason, my particular thing was worse than theirs. Right.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy. So when people start to hear things like that, they begin to say, I get it. I can relate to exactly what he's talking about because I lived through that. Or the secret things. Yes, that's you. You're living through secret things. So everything is just designed to get you to think deeply along those lines.
Okay. So I get the app, I download it.
Yep.
And it's for mobile devices, right? I mean, I couldn't do it on my desktop. I need it. It's for a mobile device.
There's also a website. So you can either go to the app or you can go to the website. So either way, I just promoting the app because the app is the newest thing, but the website was actually up first. That's what I did.
Okay.
That's what I did first.
Well, give us the website. We'll say this again at the end for everybody, but what's the website?
So the website is the same as the app, Romans10.9.com. So it's the word Romans, the number 10, and then the word 9, Romans10.9.com.
All right. So I go Romans 10:9. I get this. I start this. So it's a daily devotional, but it's also some courses. So is there a starting point? Do I just pick and choose where I want to go?
The courses are standalone courses.
Okay.
So you go there and whatever course piques your interest the most, just do that one. Yeah. And then when you take a course, there's a minimum of 4 lessons per course. Some have 5, some have 6, but there's a minimum of 4 in every one. And each one builds upon the one that came before it.
Okay.
So we're kind of sort of building upon ideas. And at the end of every course, there is a meditative question that you think about. And then there's a quiz. So the lessons have 5 questions each. And then the final exam will be 10 questions, but it will be a combination of all of the lessons that have been in that course.
All right. So what if I take it? What if I take the exam and I flunk?
we say, listen, you can always take it. You can always take it again. Now, this is so for the people who know me personally, they would laugh out loud. At what you just said, because when I do give quizzes, you know, people tell me, well, these questions are too hard. Now, obviously, since I'm the person who developed it, I'm always telling them, I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, I ran through this thing in 5 minutes. I don't understand why it's taking you so long to do it. But it's a way to learn and have fun at the same time. And that's what I'm trying to accomplish.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like this heavy, serious thing. I mean, it's serious in the sense you want to learn and grow, but you don't have to take it so seriously. If you don't get it all right, you can always retake it.
Exactly. But what I'm discovering is because people know that there's a quiz coming at the end, they're paying more attention to what they're reading, which is exactly what I want. Even though it's all in fun, you know, you're not going to get an F if you fail it. But it's causing people to pay more attention as they're reading because everybody wants to do well personally. Yeah. I suggest to people that they only do one lesson per day. Now, I understand that there are going to be some people that are just going to shoot through it because it's only four courses. But I tell them in order to get the most out of the course, it's been designed for you to take one lesson per day and reflect on what you learned that day. That's the whole. That's the whole goal here. Is I want a daily reflection on what I've just learned, and then I build upon it the next day.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's good stuff. All right. So you mentioned one of four courses. What are some of the other ones? Was Hypocrisy one of those? Course on Hypocrisy.
Okay. Hypocrisy was one.
So how to be a better hypocrite.
I have people that I know who could probably teach that course.
I could sign me up.
So they wouldn't need me. So I'm gonna pull it up now. Yeah, just to give you.
That's
just
fine. Give you an idea. That's fine. And while you're pulling it up, I mean, do people have to pay for this app? How does this all work? I mean, what's the cost?
So there's a subscription side and there's a free side. The devotionals are daily and they're free.
Okay.
There are free courses on the app and the website that are designed to give you an idea of what the subscription side is. So you don't have to be a subscriber in order to use it. So I have people who are just getting the daily devotionals, and I also have people who have subscribed so that they can see the courses.
Sure. Sure. Okay. So, I mean, you don't have to tell me all the courses. I just wondered if there, you know, a couple that you might want to.
So here's two good ones. I have one that's called Christian Myths.
Christian Myths.
No, myth.
Christian myth. Okay. Right. Mythology. Christian myth. Okay.
This one right here seeks to do away with the cliches that people often say in church. So I'll give you an example. In church, at least in the African American experience, there's a saying that goes, God won't put more on you than he knows you can bear. Okay. Very, very big. But then you read in scripture where Paul says, at one point, we were under such great pressure, we despaired even of living. So that's a myth. That's not true. So what I do in the course is I deal with some popular myths that people have been under that simply aren't true. They sound good, but they're not true. The course that I'm going to be releasing next is called He Knew I Would Fail.
Okay.
Okay. And this one centers around Peter in the upper room the night Jesus gets arrested. Yeah. So he tells Peter, you're going to deny me tonight on three separate occasions. You're going to deny that you even know me, but yet you're still on the team. So what that says to me is that God knew ahead of time that I was going to fail, but he still put me on the team anyway. That's life. Okay. That's life. And what I'm teaching them in that are the things that you do are not a surprise to God. He knew that you would fail. Now, obviously, we don't seek to fail on purpose, but it's important for a person to understand that if Paul says all things work together for good, your failure didn't come as a surprise to God. He knew it was coming, and it can be used to your advantage if you allow him to use it. So every course is something like that. When people read it, it makes them think and say, wow, he knew I would fail. I failed in life. Christian Myths. hypocrisy, things of that nature. So everything is just designed to say, wow, that's interesting. Let me open that one up and see what that's about.
All right. Well, so since we're talking about some of this stuff, let me just ask you. So I had this as a question. Does the app tackle complex or controversial theological topics, or does it focus primarily on, you know, foundational spiritual growth? Now, your background, I didn't even ask you earlier what your background is. Do you have a theological background? I mean, I'm non-denominational, so I take the whole thing in. I mean, but I mean, does your background, I'm assuming it reflects in the app a little bit, maybe? I don't know.
So my background absolutely reflects in the app a lot. Okay. I pastor a Baptist church, but the weightier theological things, just me personally, I do that more in person than I do in the app.
Okay.
And the reason why I do that is because for certain things, I believe that people need to have a venue to be able to ask some questions.
Right.
So one of the things that I do at my church, we'll have what I call a question and answer night, where people are able to come out and just ask whatever question they want to ask and get it answered. So sometimes it has to do with things that I've taught in Bible study. Sometimes it has to do with the beliefs of other family members. Sometimes it has to do with the theology of other religions, whatever it is. Now, for me, I'm kind of sort of well versed because when I was younger, I was a bit of a radical, and I used to love to debate. So when I was younger, I basically would debate people from other faiths, you know, about truth. You know, what's really true? Yeah. Is there a way to know? No, is what you're believing true? Is what I'm believing true?
Right.
So I lean heavily on that. So I've had to study a lot of other belief systems in order to arrive where I am right now.
Yeah.
And I can say, you know, what I discovered in doing that is that, you know, they might be different people, they might be different belief systems, but they kind of sort of all fall into certain buckets, you know. It's the same issue. It's just being asked a different way, or it's just being stated a different way. But it's still in that. But it's still in that bucket.
Yeah, yeah. I was raised before I became a Christian. I was raised Unitarian. I know there's Unitarians up there in the Boston area.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And actually, that was really a good thing for me, because Unitarians are really big on asking a lot of questions, you know, challenging what you believe. And I had an aunt that, when I became a Christian, she challenged me a lot because she was still a Unitarian. So I had to really get into the scriptures and really, you know, search for some answers and decide for myself some answers, you know, so those kind of things. All right. So we're running out of time here, but what advice would you give other pastors or ministry leaders who are looking to leverage technology, because you're using technology. One of the reasons we had you on this podcast is we're all over the place sometimes with our Church Solutions podcast, but we mainly focus a lot about technology stuff. So what advice would you give other pastors, other leaders looking to leverage technology to reach their congregation effectively?
So I think that you have to use technology as a tool and not a crutch. You know, one of the things that COVID did to us, unfortunately, is that it made it comfortable for people to stay home. Yeah. And my own personal experience is that there's nothing like being amongst other people who love God and worshiping together. So my personal thing is I try to help people understand, number one, the Bible says that we should do that, but also highlight the benefit of doing that. You know, there is a connection that can't be made on the computer screen. It just doesn't happen. And so I think that we use it as an assistant, but not as a crutch. The other thing that I would say, since you mentioned technology, is AI. I would caution, because I'm seeing this a lot, I would caution pastors from allowing AI to write their sermons. I see a lot of people leaning heavily on AI, where they're just giving the AI a topic and then allowing the AI to build a sermon. I personally think that's dangerous. I know that AI can be used for a lot of things, but I still believe, I'm old fashioned. I still believe that, you know, God is our inspiration and that we need to go to him. We take a text and allow God to speak to us, and we preach, you know, what God has given us to say, not what some man-made machine, you know, although it has a lot of information that it can pull from, that's not, in my opinion, divine inspiration. So again, using it as an assistant, as a tool, but not allowing it to take the place of what God has called you to do.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we're on the same page on that for sure. We use AI here with our company. Steve uses it to help coding and build certain things. And AI, obviously, it's a tool. It's a tool that you can use, and more people are using it. But yeah, the bottom line is you've got to hear the voice of God, and you've got to hear where the message that needs to be brought out, because it's going to be specific for whoever you're dealing with or whatever your congregation is, or even your own life, you know. And so, absolutely. But AI has a place, but it's not, you know. Yeah, if you're just, that's laziness. I mean, if you're just gonna,
that's exactly the word that I was going to use, and I see it as people's way of, I can rush right in on Saturday night,
yeah,
and feed this something, and have instant message,
yeah.
You know. And there are, and unfortunately, you know, there are Christian sites that I believe have good intentions, but the way that they're positioning themselves is you're not helping. you're not helping. But I get it. You know, everybody's busy. This is a fantastic tool. It can help. But just understand how it should be used. Leverage it the right way.
Yeah. One of our guys we've worked with and know pretty well, Kenny Jong, talks a lot about every church should have some kind of ethics when it comes to AI. There should be some kind of a document or some, I forget the word. I'm at the point now where I can't remember words anymore. But, you know, there should be some kind of a standard where there's a procedure, there's a policy on AI, you know, when you could possibly use it, when you should not use it. And I think every church should have something drafted up. They should go through it and think it through, you know, so that you don't get off track. AI also hallucinates. I mean, it's not as bad as it used to be, but it does hallucinate. And by that, I mean, you know, it's not on mushrooms or something, but it's well, maybe it is. I don't know. But it's, you know, it gives you information sometimes. It's not even right, you know, and, you know, sometimes you'll catch it and you'll go, that's not right. It's not. Oh, you are right. They updated this, you know, 'cause we'll use it a lot to try to figure out certain things when it comes to coding and, you know, putting something together online, not in a teaching thing, but in building stuff, you know, for our servers and those kind of things.
And sure. The other thing is that it's not your work. I mean, if it's building something and you're just going to go and preach it, that's not you. You know,
it's not you. Yeah.
Where's the sacrifice in that? Where's the laboring over a text and the prayer,
right,
you know, and asking God to speak to you? You know, that for people that do that, I tell them that sermon has cost you nothing. You know, real preaching will cost you something, time.
That's right.
You know, energy. It costs you something. So when you go about it that way, it hasn't cost you anything. And in my own personal opinion, you know, things that don't cost you anything, a lot of people say aren't worth it. It's not worth that much. It didn't cost you anything. It was just given to you. So we shouldn't do that. So I mean, my own personal advice to people are those two things. You know, just understand that they are, as you said, tools to be used to help, but certainly not to be leaned on or to be relied upon. It's just dangerous.
Yeah. Let's get back before we run out of time. Let's get back to Romans 10:9. So at the end of the day, Dr. Allen, what does success look like for a user who downloads Romans 10:9? Is the time spent in the app, is it something that's success, or is it something outside of that? What's a successful person if they download this app? What leads to success for them?
So for me, you know, to hear people who have used the app tell me that the way that they approach scripture in terms of how they think about things has changed, for me, that's success, because that's what I'm after. You know, I'm looking to have you not just read a passage of scripture, but understand how to go deep. And there are ways to think that can lead you down certain paths. So those questions that I asked them at the end have been designed to cause your thinking patterns to go in a certain direction. And so what I'm seeing is that even when they're not taking lessons, when people are just doing their own devotional time and they're reading passages of scripture, they're telling me that they're starting to think a certain way after they've read it. And I say, amen. That's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want.
We're a society that just rushes through everything. But if we'll just take some time to sit, you know, and even just sit in quietness, you know, after you read a scripture or something, you know, that gives God an opportunity to speak to you. But when you're running around all over the place trying to get this done, I got to go through this course and I get this done, you know, you miss out. There's something about quiet time.
Your point about giving God time to speak to you. There was a book that I read years ago that changed my whole prayer life. I think the author is Dick Eastman, The Hour That Changes the World.
Okay.
And it talked about how you could spend an hour in prayer. Now, when I first read that, I'm like, okay, who's on their knees for a solid hour in prayer? And what are you actually saying while you're there? But he basically obviously took the hour and broke it down into different parts. You know, there was time for singing, there was time for meditation. But one of the biggest things that reading that book taught me was the fact that we say, again, with a cliche, prayer is a conversation with God. Okay, well, if it's a conversation with God, conversation is a two-way street. And if you are constantly talking while you're on your knees, at what point does God get to speak back to you if you say amen and get up? There's so much that God would have said to you, but you left. So you never heard anything that he wanted to say. And that book helped me understand that if you're going to hear from God, as you were saying earlier, you have to give God time to speak to you. And that means that prayer has to be a priority. In my own life at that time, I was praying at the end. I was praying at the end of the day. But think about it. At the end of the day, I am the most tired. Sometimes I would fall down by the side of my bed. I would fall asleep. And it's basically saying I'm giving God my leftover time. Well, if prayer is that important, why would you give God the leftover time? Why wouldn't you give him the prime time of the day if it's very important? So that's another thing that I help people to understand, is that you can't rush in with God and expect, you know, to be able to pray to move mountains. It doesn't happen. You've got to spend time. You've got to spend time with them. So the whole thought process is, like I was saying before, when people start to think deeply, they begin to understand, wow, when I slow down and when I begin to think, you know, I begin to learn more, but I also begin to hear God more. So as I said, success for me is when they tell me that it's changed how I begin to think, how I began to look at scripture, because that's really what I'm after.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. All right. The app is Romans 10:9, and it's the word Romans, number 10, and then spell out N-I-N-E, Romans 10:9, and I guess the website, Romans10:9.com?
Correct.
Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's correct.
And of course, you can get the app by going to Google or to the Apple store, and you can get that as well. All right. How can people get a hold of you, Dr. Allen?
So I'm actually a YouTuber as well.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Among the other things that I do, my YouTube channel is called Sermon in 7. That's all one word as well. Sermon in and then the number 7. And the idea behind it was, when I first started the page, I was giving a sermon-like message in under 7 minutes. That was my challenge, was to give a word, but do it in under seven minutes. So they could find me there. They could reach out to me there.
Okay. All right. YouTube. All right. So one more time, Sermon in 7.
Sermon in 7.
Okay.
All right, on YouTube. All one phrase on YouTube.
All right. Sounds good. All right, sir. I sure appreciate you.
Listen, Phil, this has been great. And as you said, I'm gonna listen, invite me back. We'll talk basketball. I would love
to. Oh, there you go.
I've got 1,001 stories, not just about the Celtics, but I'm an avid basketball fan, and I would love to come back and trade stories with you.
I don't have that many, but I've got a few probably too. Well, that would be great. That would be wonderful. All right. So our guest has been Dr. Timothy Allen. And folks, if you have not subscribed to the Church Solutions podcast, why not? What are you waiting for? Give it a shot. You'll never miss one. And if you don't like it, you can always delete it. But why would you, right? So Church Solutions podcast, and give us a rating if you can. And we would love to hear from you. And again, if you have any questions about this, if you want to reach out to us, you can always reach out to us. Our one of our products is streamingchurch.tv, and there's a place you can go on our website, bottom right, I think, and you can chat with us live. And if we're in Arizona, so if there's a time difference and we're sleeping or something, you can still leave a message, and we'll reach out to you. And if you need to connect up with Dr. Allen, we can certainly do that as well. So, all right. Again, thank you, Dr. Timothy Allen. Sure appreciate you. And thank you, folks, for spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions podcast. Steve Lacy will be back with us again sometime. I'm Phil Thompson. Please take care of yourself and each other.